Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the U.S. House Education and Workforce Committee for its outrageous, slanderous, and blasphemous behavior in the recent hearing entitled Training Activists, Not Physicians, The Impact of DEI on Medical Schools. As you can already tell from the title, these Republican heretics have abused their power to undo the wonderful work being accomplished at the medical schools of UCLA, UC San Francisco, and the University of Illinois, where, of course, for years, we have been actively shaping a woke-focused curriculum for our doctors in training. Since so many of our core ideas about gender and sexuality depend on upending the entire medical establishment, naturally, we've been training activists for years at these and other medical schools. In the recent hearing, two members of the committee in particular engaged in what can only be described as blatant attacks on the core doctrines of our religion. First, it was Representative Mary Miller.
UCSF's classroom guide titled Framework for Gender and Sex Concepts in Teaching advises against using the term pregnant women. Instead, it says to use pregnant people. Who are pregnant people compared to pregnant women? Just curious.
Well, obviously they are pregnant men, who are transgender men, but who retain the uterus they were born with. Some women have uteruses, and some men have uteruses. How is this even hard to understand? And as Sam Hawgood, the UCSF chancellor, clearly explained...
Of course, the vast majority of pregnancies are in women, and I have absolutely no problem with using the word pregnant women. I use it myself.
And by vast majority, he clearly means that there are some pregnancies in men. Duh. And... calling a man a woman just because he has a uterus would be insulting and false. But she persisted.
Myself.
Has a non-biological woman ever had a baby?
A transgender person can.
Yeah, exactly. Even though it's clear as day that a man having a uterus and getting pregnant is totally normal, even scientific, Miller just won't grasp this basic fact of biology, later pressing the same line of ignorance with UCLA Med School Dean Steve Dubinet.
Can someone have a uterus but not be a woman? Because it seems like your school is promoting that ridiculous idea.
It's not promoting a ridiculous idea, lady. It's teaching the basic truths of modern medicine. And if a U.S. Congress being refuses to learn the terminology of modern science, that's her problem. Then later in the hearing, Representative Virginia Fox began attacking other core pillars of wokeness with her rude and heterodox opinions.
One class session entitled, quote, Colonialism and the Role of Medicine and Race, end quote, included the theory that all capitalism is, quote, racial capitalism. Can you explain what racial capitalism is and why this theory was taught in a first-year medical school course?
Well, obviously, these young doctors must learn early on about the racism and white supremacy culture inherent in capitalism, as well as how the systems of oppression created by it produce disparate health outcomes for non-white and non-male citizens. That's just basic economics and political science. Just as obviously, this has to be taught early enough and often enough for it to sink in properly. And then she pivoted.
Do you believe the word obesity is a slur? Is the concept of obesity used to exact violence on fat people?
Well, of course it is. Because any word that hurts feelings or marginalizes people, especially on the basis of individual weight style, is unacceptable and contrary to good medicine. And just as naturally, these bigotries run deep, so they must be addressed in first-year medical courses to root them out as quickly as possible. What we find disappointing and sad is that these narrow-minded adherents of an outdated set of beliefs were allowed to badger and bully these fine paragons of modern medical thought with their confused, primitive, and offensive ideas. Utterly shameful. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, I want to address a somewhat complicated question parishioners have been asking me this week about the casting of Dakota Johnson for the role of Marilyn Monroe in a short film directed by Maggie Gyllenhaal. Of course, Dakota Johnson was the star of the family-unfriendly classic, 50 Shades of Grey, the movie series that almost single-handedly normalized bondage, dominance, and sadomasochistic sexuality. These movies not only brought some of the most lurid behaviors out of the dungeon and into the mainstream, but also added 4 new letters to the holy acronym string, now LGBTQIA2S++BDSM. So obviously, we love Dakota for her pioneering work to undermine traditional norms. But the controversy comes from the fact that Dakota Johnson's hair is a deep chocolate brown, whereas Marilyn Monroe was quite famously blonde. However, even a cursory review of Marilyn's face will remind everyone that she was, in fact, trans-hued, assigned a brunette at birth but later identified as a blonde with the help of modern hair-affirming therapy. And so the question has been posed whether it is horribly wrong for Dakota Johnson to pretend to be a blonde Marilyn, or whether it is wonderfully right for her to so perfectly epitomize Marilyn even though she is not naturally trans-hued herself. Now, we know that you've all been well-trained to beware of treating race, gender, and culture as things that other people can demean through inappropriate and unlicensed use, just as blackface, comedic transvestitism, and whites wearing ethnic clothing are wicked examples of racial, sexual, or cultural appropriation. But so too is hair color appropriation, as redheads who resent people who dye their hair red like to say, being ginger is not a choice, our carrot top is not your costume. Likewise, natural blondes often dislike the follicular appropriation by women who are biologically brunette. And since blonde is a minority hair color made by recessive genes, it's important that we protect the rights of natural blondes to represent their own kind in the arts. Just as straight people should not portray people of the rainbow, and normies should not portray persons with disabilities, so too, brunettes should not be allowed to take acting work away from real blondes by undergoing hair change operations, especially temporary ones. But again, I remind you that since Marilyn Monroe herself was trans trestle, hiring another trans trestle to portray her seems the most natural choice, especially since in her early years prior to making it big, Johnson herself was a blonde. Not quite the platinum of Marilyn Monroe, but certainly not her natural chestnut. So in the end, our guidance is simple. Because of Johnson's pioneering work as an ally of the holy acronym string, because the director of the film itself is none other than the rainbow-friendly icon Maggie Gyllenhaal, and because having a woman-identified brunette at birth portray a transpigmental blonde actually seems like the perfect choice for Marilyn, we will allow the casting of Dakota Johnson in a film that surely should have been titled 50 Shades of L'Oreal. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our loudest, wildest, most tambourinist, dance-like-no-one-is-watching-est praise this week goes to It Girl and our collective's selection for the next actress to portray a U.S. president in a TV series, Anne Hathaway. In case you missed it, the Hath gave a pointed, brilliant, clear, and beautiful speech to the Human Rights Campaign annual dinner in 2018, which has recently resurfaced due to her casting in Christopher Nolan's monumentally revisionist masterwork, The Odyssey. In this speech, the Queen of Hathness said it all in one brilliant, slightly condensed soundbite.
With the exception of being a cisgender male, everything about how I was born has put me at the current center of a damaging and widely accepted myth. That myth is that gayness orbits around straightness, transgender orbits around cisgender, and that all races orbit around whiteness. And it is a myth that keeps money and power in the hands of the few instead of being invested in the lives of the free. I appreciate this community so much because it's where I learned to reject this myth. I appreciate this community because together we are not just going to question this myth, we are going to destroy it.
I mean, could we just sit for a moment with this truth bomb? Which is, of course, the only kind of bomb we support. Just bask in the glow of it all. Acknowledging her own privilege, exposing the straight white male supremacy culture at the heart of America's diseased identity, redefining the notions of straight and gay, transgender and cisgender, and BIPOC and white as co-equal instead of primary and derivative is just fantastic. Then calling this the dominant myth in our culture and finally promising to shatter it to pieces? Brava, Anne Hathaway. Brava. This may be one of the most elegant examples of Abernathy's 14th postulate on the manipulation of populations through public misspeaking. As you all have learned, the key is to say contradictory gibberish with a completely sincere tone and adamantly fabricated confidence, knowing that if you can only speak the nonsense with the right blend of passion and condescension, people will applaud you instead of, say, laughing at you. And if you watch her Hathiness's face, right at the end, she's basking in the glow of laudatory groupthink. There is a smirk as she finally realizes she's pulled it off. They bought it, and they loved her for it. As a side note, great work showing that the ultimate goal of our religion, which is, of course, we continue to deny is actually religion, is to tear down traditional values and replace them with our own. Remember what you learned in your intermediate Wokeite training. While you are not yet in power, demand that your views be tolerated. When you acquire power, demand that no other views be tolerated. Some people believe in the nonsense notion that traditional morality and progressive morality can coexist, but of course, that's just a misleading bit of doublespeak we say until we're in a position to, as the hathiest of haths herself hath said,
we are not just going to question this myth. We are going to destroy it.
Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.